to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and today is the 3rd of January 2012, so Happy New Year and welcome to the first podcast of the new year. Today we have an interview with Ashita Gupta from the Domino Project, Seth Godin's publishing experiment, and also from Fearless Magazine. So that's coming up and we're talking about book marketing and all kinds of exciting things. But first, a little update on what I've been up to. And also, I just wanted to say this is episode 114 of the podcast. So if you have joined recently, you can get all the back episodes at thecreativepen.com/podcasts. So Happy New Year. I hope you had a good holiday and a much needed rest, if time with one's family can be called that. I was in Oxford, well, near Oxford at my dad's, and I'm the eldest of five siblings. So it's quite noisy. Everyone had their partners there this year. So it was, kind of crazy party time. But I did also manage to do some work in between various drinking events. And my big news is that my new novel, Prophecy, which is the second in the Arcane series, is now available on the Kindle. So that's pretty exciting. It's another fast-paced thriller that focuses on the hunt for the Devil's Bible and a curse that could bring on the apocalypse in just 7 days. So yes, lots of high stakes, high body count, very fast pace. And if you enjoyed Pentecost, or in fact, it can be read standalone. So if you're interested, that is Prophecy on the Kindle. I'm doing a soft launch for this first month while I get some reviews. And then I'm going to do some promotion in February. But I'm also personally taking the advice of Robin Sullivan to heart. She was on the podcast last year in November, and she talked about having three books before you really go hard on marketing. So I'm going to jump straight into writing the next Arcane book, which will be called Exodus. I'm stepping away from the P theme because I'm just going to run out of words beginning with P, really. Yeah, so that's quite exciting. I need to get on with writing that. Some of the other things that happened, and I did write a post on sort of the roundup, but big things for last year, if you missed that, the Creative Pen was voted one of the top 10 blogs for writers for the second year running. So that's brilliant. Thanks so much if you voted for me. I really appreciate it. That actually means a lot to me, and it does a lot for my blog, and the readership grows quite substantially. So that's exciting. I also I did a post, as I say, and Pentecost had sold over 16,000 copies by the year end, which I'm also pretty pleased about. I also moved from Brisbane, Australia to London last year, so that was quite major, and still really happy to be here, even though today is wild and windy and rainy, but I feel like my muse is home here. And I feel like I'm creating like a mad thing now I'm back. I also finished my IT job and gave that up to become an author entrepreneur full time. There have been some wobbly moments in the last few months, I'll admit that. And at some point I will talk about, you know, that some more. But I guess I'm still coming to grips with it. And I like to do lessons learnt and give you advice. And until I've processed it, I can't really give any advice. But so far it's all going, you know, well. And I'm meeting my financial goals each month, which is important when it's your full-time living. I do have some really big goals for the year ahead, and I hope you also have some writing goals for this year. I'm intending to write 2 more novels and a novella, and one of those novels at least will be Exodus, and the novella will also be an Arcane novella, which I want to put into the KDP Select program to try that out. But I do need to speed up my writing. I have some pro friends. Ruth Ann Norden, who has been on the show before, is aiming to write 6 books this year, so she's heading for the Amanda Hocking kind of volume and the Joe Comrath volume. I can't get quite that far myself, but 2.5, I guess, is my aim. For non-fiction, I'm also going to revamp my writing and marketing books, which I'm going to withdraw from Kindle and Lulu and everything, and I'm just going to sell those directly on the blog, and I will talk more about that later, not in this podcast, in another one. But I also have another little book on career change that I want to write, so that will be coming as well. The Creative Pen will also be focused on becoming a business powered by a blog, which I think is which I've stolen from copyblogger.com, one of my favourite blogs. This is really using your blog to power the business and to bring in traffic for things that actually make money. This is no longer a hobby for me, so it's really important that I step that up. In alignment with that goal, I'll also be re-releasing the Author 2.0 blueprint and updating that fully, and also releasing some new courses this year, including how to launch your book online, which I will be learning more about myself, and also bring you the best from the best. Also, if one of your goals is to write a novel, talking of courses, I have just created a multimedia mini course with the author of 11 novels, Roz Morris, who blogs at nailyournovel.com. Roz is brilliant, and she helps, she writes a lot herself, but she also helps authors, and she's an editor. The course has over 4.5 hours of audio and video, plus an 86-page transcription and slides. You can find that at thecreativepen.com/write-novel, and that is just US$99. So I hope you can, if your goal is to write a novel this year, that will really help. It contains all our lessons learned. So what does 2012 look like in the publishing world? Well, we found, last year that every 5 minutes, every day we logged on, there was something new. And interestingly, we never really hear rumours from Amazon. They just kind of announce something. And that was what we talked about last podcast with KDP Select. But today I actually saw a post that Apple will be opening a self-publishing site this January. These are rumours, but generally Apple rumours tend to happen, so that will be interesting. And if they do that, the question is, will it be a global platform like KDP or like Smashwords, or will it just be for US bank account holders like Pubit for Barnes & Noble, which is just ridiculous if you ask me. But this is a really interesting development. I don't think many indies are selling well on Apple. Those of us who go through Smashwords, it just doesn't seem to have happened. So maybe this will change things. So there's definitely going to be a lot happening this year in terms of self-publishing, in terms of digital. Hachette and various other people have reported millions and millions of ebooks sold on Christmas Day, as well as the over 5 million Kindles that were sold. So it's going to be a huge year. So if you're not on Kindle, you're not on ebook, you need to sort it out. And now the Kindles are so cheap, I am advising people, if you don't even own a Kindle yourself, and but you realise as an author you have to get into this, I suggest you buy one just in order to even test your own books. I still get nuts by the number of people who do not format their ebooks correctly, and this is traditional publishers as well. You should be able to test your file on your own device before you put it out there. I think that's like basic 101. Excited about this year. So let's get on with the interview. I'm talking to Ishita Gupta, who worked with Seth Godin at the Domino Project, which is one of the most exciting things that went on in 2011 with publishing. So here's the interview with Ishita. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and today I'm interviewing Ishita Gupta. Ishita has helped create 6 best-selling books as head of Hoopla for the Domino Project, Seth Godin's publishing experiment. She also runs Fearless online magazine, described as Fast Company meets Oprah. So welcome, Ishita.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I have really been looking forward to this.
Oh, no, it's great to have you on the show. So why don't you start by telling us a bit more about your background and how you got into all of this?
Oh, how I got into all of this. Yeah. I'm not even quite sure what all of it is.
The internet fame thing.
The internet fame. I've never heard it described like that. I'm not quite sure if I'm there yet, but the way that I got started with it was, you mentioned the magazine that I publish, which is Fearless, and I started that almost 2 years ago now. I had started that with a business partner, but the way that I started it was actually in a business and entrepreneurship program with a man named Seth Godin, who I was head of Hoopla for a while. And so Seth is a blogger and an entrepreneur online. I'm sure many of your readers know who he is. He was having a 6-month MBA, alternative MBA entrepreneurship course. And so I had applied for that furiously. And prior to applying for that, actually, so almost 3.5 years ago, I had really no business or marketing background. I had plans to go to medical school, and then I studied art for a little while. I studied documentary photography and editorial photography, which really got me into storytelling, although it was much more visual. But I learned about stories and how powerful they were. And after my 2 years of studying that, I knew I wanted to move to New York and run my own business. I've never been the type of person that's wanted to work for someone, although I have had great bosses, but I've always just known that I wanted to run my own gig. And so I applied for Seth's program and furiously for like 3 days, didn't eat, didn't sleep, just didn't shower, nothing, just applied and wrote my heart out. And it was the most honest application I've ever done. I got really raw and really honest about my intentions, about what I wanted to do in life, and sent it out into the void, you know, fingers crossed. And lo and behold, he said, come back for an interview. There was 25 of us at the time, and then finally it was whittled down to 9 of us. And so for 6 months, we spent, you know, that time with Seth, learning about entrepreneurship, about business, about marketing, about publishing, how to really run your business as an entrepreneur in the real world, not just from reading a book. So that for me was invaluable to introduce me to all of these new concepts online of social media, publishing, marketing. I didn't even have a blog, you know, 4 years ago. I'm so bad about my current blog anyway. But, you know, it's, I guess that those were the origins. I didn't really understand why a man who wrote about business and marketing was resonating with me. But now I find that publishing, which you're a huge part of, and anything that you really do online is much greater than one part. Yeah. It's really composed of many different elements, a lot of it being personal initiative, desire to run your own business, writing, marketing, sales. It's a lot. And so I was really surprised by my own interest in all of this, to be honest. And so as soon as I started the magazine and started working with Seth, kind of just went like this. Very fast, and I'm a person who likes to work a little bit at a slower pace, so it was definitely kind of a crazier pace, and I think the internet is like that, but I love the internet. I can't tell you.
Me too.
I mean, I feel emotionally attached to the internet, like it's stupid almost, but to me it's so empowering. It's And I have to credit Seth with this, to think of it as a tool of really opening up my world. There's no one else in my life that's telling me like, oh, use the internet to build a business. And for me, that's just been, and now that's what I want to do. That's exactly what I want to do, is build a sustainable, scalable business online.
Yeah, well, that's great. And I mean, you know, I'm there as well. So I absolutely agree with you. So let's get a bit further into the Domino Project, because I mean, I've been since day one, and I actually emailed Seth and said, you've just, you know, everyone is loving you for doing this. But maybe you could explain a bit more about what the Domino Project is or was, because it's kind of wound up, and also what it's done to change your view on publishing.
Yes. Firstly, not everyone is always supportive of experiments that Seth does, or I think anyone else does online. You know, we got a lot of flack initially for starting something like this because people weren't sure what it was. So what Domino was a new publishing house that was powered by Amazon, which essentially meant we were partnered with Amazon, and we had all the ingredients of a traditional publisher. We had books. We had authors, we had readers. But the main difference was that we leveraged the internet. And what does the internet do best? It's speed. It's targeting people very specifically. And that's exactly also what Amazon does best, which is very targeted marketing, very sort of specific outreach to people, and mass distribution. And so the way that we worked with Amazon was that we were creative partners. The Domino Project essentially curated, published, edited, designed, marketed, copywrote, everything from start to finish for a traditional book that you would expect. Domino did that. And Amazon helped us with marketing. It happens when I talk too much. It'll happen again. They helped us with marketing. They helped us with a little bit of publicity. And they helped us with reaching all their millions of customers. So it was, you know, it wasn't very different than a traditional publisher, except for the fact that our core tenets were using the speed of the internet. I mean, I think we produced a book a month, and from between 10 to 14 weeks was our lead time, was our time for bringing a book to market. And for traditional, I think the minimum is about a year, which may be changing for people. I think it might be changing actually for a lot of the authors that I talk to. But for Domino, it was really, how can we spread ideas that we think are important? Obviously, we started with Seth's tribe, which is, you know, 500,000 people of entrepreneurs and small business owners and marketers and people who are well-versed online. So bringing books, making books for them, as opposed to just writing whatever book we wanted, which is, I think, one of the, another core tenet is, what do people want to read? Make books that people are actually going to buy instead of just whatever you want. And there's different ways of thinking about it. Obviously, Seth's tribe then ended up buying those books because we were creating, you know, nonfiction that they would embrace. So Domino really had these just fundamental core values that we were operating from, which was we wanted to have fun. We weren't going to do, there were six or seven of us. And it was a very, very lean, small team. And, you know, each of us were in charge of sort of different elements, from copywriting to editing to design to marketing. Marketing and media was sort of my wheelhouse. And then there was a CEO for each book. So I, you know, Amber Ray, who was a part of the Domino team, she was CEO for Derek Sivers' book. So she sort of headed up most of the activities for that, even though we had individual descriptions underneath for each book. So we were essentially a little traditional publishing company, except knowing that many of these readers and people who would read our books were already online, really doing things in marketing, in even in the design of the books, in every aspect, building in this idea of how can we use the internet? How can we make it fast? How can we do it in a way that's going to delight people, as opposed to being this big engine that isn't aware of what people want? That was what I took away from it, and this very open, direct communication with readers. Those were sort of the fundamental aspects of Domino, and I think a lot of the success, is because we followed those. That's why we had great success with the books we put out.
Yeah. And I mean, it's wound up now. And, Seth did a post on things that, you know, he sort of learned along the way. But one of his kind of stated aims was to almost fail and teach his friends in publishing about how to reinvent themselves. I think I'm right in that. Did that happen? I mean, has publishing learned anything?
Has publishing learned anything? Well, first let me address, I think with Seth's projects, just working with him for the last 3 years, failure is a huge part of that. And why? Mm-hmm. Simply because you learn. I mean, we did so many different things in addition to Domino that either the public, well, some heard about and others not, but it's this constant push forward to try to do things that are scary. Mm. I mean, we were scared every time we launched something with Domino. Seth has a ton of critics, and I mean, publishing in general, everyone has their own viewpoint. Mm. I think I don't know if people have quite learned maybe what we were trying to teach with Domino, which was there's not necessarily a right way. I don't think books are ever going to go away. If I were to show you books here right now, I'm a hardcover girl and I work in digital publishing. Like, it's bad. I don't own a Kindle. I don't know if I should.
Blasphemy.
I know. I don't even know if I should have said that, actually. But the point is books are not going away. It's a question of how can we embrace the changes that are happening now in a way that's not scary? You do that really well, because you break the process down and make even the social media components and the marketing components not so overwhelming. The thing with traditional publishers is that they don't want their system to go away, which I totally understand. Change is very hard. Why would you want something that is such a joy and gives so many people pleasure and entertainment go? Why would you want it to go away? You don't. I don't want to see it go away. Hmm. But the fact remains is that 12 of the Borders bookstores around me have still closed. So how can you leverage what's working and stop doing what's not? So I think it's going to be a while. I think the consensus is that it can't happen overnight, but there's absolutely no consensus about how that's going to happen necessarily. Hmm. You probably have a lot more knowledge about the self-publishing route and the e-readers and all of that than I actually do. But I do believe very strongly that if you see a system changing and you don't at least understand the elements that are working, there will be parts of it that are of your industry that will be left behind. Mm. And that's just the nature of it, because authors are so much more empowered. They can create their quote unquote lists. They can be their own sales and marketing force. They can speak directly to readers like you can with your blog, like Seth can with his blog, that it begs the question, what can a traditional publisher provide that someone else can't provide for themselves? And if that's the question, then you have to make yourself a little bit more valuable, or at least recognize that things are changing and you should know that. Mm. So I don't have this is not an indictment of traditional publishers at all. It's the opposite. For me, I would love to, and you do this well, is present information in a way that's not overwhelming, not scary, take traditional publishers' hands, hold them through this process, and say, what you want to continue to sustain and create, books, mm-hmm. important ideas, things that change people's lives, these things can continue, and they will continue in this way if you start embracing this. I think this fear mentality of dangling things over traditional publishers' heads, like it's going to go away and you need to learn all these things now. And I don't think that ever works in life in general, in any category, whether it's learning something about business, whether it's an industry going away, whether it's a relationship. This fear to me isn't effective.
No, I agree. I agree. And, you know, I am continue to be a fan of publishing in all of its sort of, you know, myriad forms. And I don't think any of us want any form of publishing to disappear. It is just changing. Yeah. So one of the things that you talked about there was authors having their list. And I mean, I'm in Seth's tribe. I'm one of those people who will buy and pretty much anything he puts out. And, you know, and also a lot of the authors who came into Domino had their own lists as well. So how much does that permission marketing and that, you know, finding your own tribe, you know, does that really fit into this kind of book marketing?
I think it does. And I'll preface that with, I've worked with authors who have come in with no lists and authors who have had crazy lists, like Derek Sivers, who has, you know, an email list of 500,000 people. And then on top of that, a Twitter of 800,000. And then on top of that, a Facebook. I mean, I get shy of these numbers, but I do think having some form of communication with your readership or with people is going to make life a lot easier. And some of the authors that I work with, we have the same conversations about not going out to people with like a funnel, right? And saying, yo, look at me, I'm here, look at my work, buy my book. How are you going to make it so that you can create a platform where people are coming to you, right? Where you can have friends talk about your work or put out a blog post and people are coming directly to you. It's like I get tired just thinking about how hoarse your voice would get trying to, you know, in metaphorically speaking, trying to constantly bring people to you as opposed to just having them organically find you. That to me is the biggest asset. Right, of build is the biggest benefit of building an asset like a list. And then you can see how word of mouth makes such a difference these days. I would much rather buy a book that my sister or my mom tell me about. Well, maybe not. over just a random general recommendation. I think specificity is the key of the internet. Anyone can buy anything they want, even if it's the most specific Adderall D, you know, by Roland R09 recorder. I can buy something to a T that I want. And so it begs the question, if you have 6 billion plus people on the planet and you're creating something for a certain subset of these people, why, instead of shouting to them, why not create something where they're going to organically come to you, they're going to find you, they're going to buy your products, your work? And also, this idea of renewal is important. Like you mentioned, you would buy any of Seth's recommendation, right? If he put out a recommendation a month, you would probably, if you're not buy, at least notice them. That to me is so pivotal, is attention. It's so scarce. I mean, it's time and attention for me are the biggest, scarcest commodities nowadays. I just think about myself. And what I'm lacking, and maybe sanity in there too. But, you know, I just feel like that is such an honor to have someone's attention that, you know, you have to get it in a way that's A, authentic, and B, how are you going to make it so that this person wants to listen to you one time, the third time, the fifth time? That to me is the biggest benefit of having an email list where your readers trust you, where you can go back to them in a really transparent way and not in a markety or salesy way, and offer your work and offer your products and bring your true potential and work and the reason that you're here on this earth to the world. That's how you can do it. It's not a hard way to do it, actually.
Yeah, and it's a nice way. It's an authentic way, and I mean, that's why I do what I do as well as you do. I mean, we like to just, I guess, be real and be out there. But that's, I guess, one way of book marketing. But you've seen with Domino and with your own work with authors, a lot of other ways that people can do book marketing. Could you just share, you know, a couple of other ways that people can, that you've seen work, I guess, in book marketing?
Yeah, I guess, you know, a lot of the different activities that I do with authors around marketing goes back to at least trying to, you know, talk to the people who they're already in connection with. And if someone doesn't have a list, then we spend some time building that. But I would say This idea of doing an online media tour was really successful for Seth's book Lynchpin, and something that we subsequently implemented for quite a few of our Domino books. And what an online media tour is, and I'm sure many people probably do this without knowing, I mean, we just coined that term, is that you try to show up in as many places as you can online on a given day or a given launch period of time, so maybe 2 or 3 days or a launch week. So what Seth and I did was we organized maybe 20 or 30 of either relevant blogs where the person's audience was already attached or knew about Seth or knew about his work, or there was some relevance to the topic. And so we approached people in the online space who had relevant blogs, and we said, hey, we'll either offer an excerpt from the book, or we'll do an interview. Seth will do an interview with you, or you can do an interview in whatever way that you want, like video style or text or what have you, for your blog. And we did that for 20, 30 different blogs. Some of them obviously were friends of Seth and people who had pretty big clout online. Some were blogs who were just relatively not known, but had relevant audiences and topics and that type of a thing. And so what we did was we pre-recorded or pre-did all of this information. So Seth did all the interviews. He wrote all the excerpts, wrote all the articles. We sent all the excerpts. And then on the launch day, every single person posted. So social media just went bananas.
I remember it. Yeah, it was huge.
So if 20 and 30 of the either top bloggers or different sites online are posting about the same topic, obviously there's bound to be a conversation. There's bound to be what we like to call a kerfuffle. I don't know. Seth introduced that word to me. But just massive amounts of conversation and buzz. And this is what social media is like to me. Like, this happens.
Yeah.
So a lot of that was happening. And in addition to that, then, to sort of reward people, what Seth did was he linked back to them on his own blog, just sort of listed theirs. And it was kind of a generous thank you and a way for other people to be acknowledged as a part of this thing. And people realized that if they promoted more, they get sort of more love. Just link love. Because links sort of online, I heard once, and I like to say it, is the currency online, links are. And I think that was sort of a very virtuous cycle between people. So people want exclusive content. They want to hear from Seth or the author. They want to, obviously, we didn't do a quid pro quo where you would be linked to on Seth's blog just because that never feels right. And then you're kind of pimping out your blog, which Seth actually never does. So it was more of like, hey, you know, this is what we're thinking about. Maybe this will happen, but in any case, you'll get exclusive content and excerpts. And then we ended up linking to all of them, and it was fantastic. There was so much buzz. There were so many good comments and blog posts and tweets and everything that was going on that day. It was really great to see. And so that was super effective for us. And that's something that's short term, you know.
And people listening who are not as big as Seth Godin can also do this, you know, in their own areas by looking at other bloggers. One thing that interested me about that was the fact that I don't think you went for any traditional media at that point, did you? You went 2.0, Web 2.0 first. Did that impact traditional media, or did you just not bother with the media?
No, it's not that we didn't necessarily bother with it. I think two things. First thing is our default was always web first. How can we drive all these viral online activities first? Because that's something you can control. That's something you can measure. Also, that's something you can see direct results in real time. To me, and I actually did pitch traditional media for this. We got Seth on the radio. We got him on NPR. We got him on Marketplace. But I also spent 2 months banging my head against the wall trying to get on Charlie Rose. I'm not going to lie. I'll be straight up and transparent about traditional media is fantastic if you can get the, if you have the time and resources for the lead time. I would have needed to spend probably another month pitching the same producer, who's probably lovely, just has no time and gets 1,000 pitches. every day for a month before making some headway, and certainly a few more months before securing a spot on Charlie Rose. So, you know, I do think, but if I spent a year pitching Charlie Rose, Jon Stewart, all the media outlets that would sort of are more related to Seth, you have to also be very targeted in who you pitch. I'm sure that we could have done it if I spent 6 months straight doing just that. But that wasn't what we wanted to do. Our mission was also to send out books, to market them, to sell as many copies as we could, to do things fast, to do things in an innovative way. And everything we thought about was, how can we do this ourselves first? And so what could we control? We could control online and our activities and this kind of online media tour. And the second part of that is that I think doing all these things online can definitely lead to traditional media, because a lot of reporters, we created a domino opt-in list. This is a good idea for anyone, actually. The opt-in list is essentially like a sign-up form on your website or blog, and even authors who don't have a following or anyone just starting out, you know, this is exactly what I did, is you put an opt-in form on your site to start building your list. So we did that for Domino, and we created a list of about 50,000 people. And then we also had a separate opt-in for the media. And so relevant blogs, relevant newspapers. You know, I'm not going to go to the Minnesota Centennial or something like that. I'm going to go to Fast Company or Wired or things that are very specific and relevant. And part of the problem with traditional media is that so many people pitch without having any idea of who and how they're pitching, that people just get fed up with them. So if it's very targeted, if it's very specific, you can do it. Just know that it'll take much, much longer. And I forget my point, but I think it was the media. I think it was the media list. We did the opt-in list for the media. And once they saw this online stuff happening, they, some of them picked it up, and some of them would then write about it. But it was a default.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I mean, you've now, well, you've been involved for ages, like, you know, on publishing books. Is this something you're going to continue with? Are you going to stay in that area? Publishing, I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. To me, right now, what I'm trying to do is work with authors and people to do what you're doing, essentially. I do consulting on book marketing, and, you know, I work with authors individually on exactly what we're talking about, on this new model, on this new mindset of publishing. And as well as I'm building my own information product business, which one part of it is definitely going to be a guide or a book or some product on this very topic. So for me, publishing, it's very natural. I've always been inclined to this type of information, I guess, and information products and being online and publishing in general is so, to me, it's empowering. It's already changed my life. I love books. I've been reading since I was so young. And this type of like information idea exchange to me is so thrilling. I'm such a dork. Like, I just, I
me
love
too.
I know. I love it so much. Anyone I talk to about publishing or the internet, they want to slap me. But it's true. I get really excited about it. I'm definitely going to stay in this realm, at least until everything crumbles.
Oh no, it's a really exciting time, you know, for both of us, I think. But why don't you also tell us a bit more about your magazine Fearless, and, you know, how has that changed since you started it, as your life has changed?
Yeah, well, certainly Fearless does mimic my own stages of life. The reason that I started it was I was in a terrible moment of fear. I was actually trying to figure out my career and figure out my life, still trying to do that. I looked for a resource, and I just could not find one that I wanted to read that wasn't fluffy, that gave specific advice. And I'd always had the idea of doing something on failure. Because I think we're very quick as humans to talk about our success and our happiness and all this, but when it comes to guilt and fear, shame, loneliness, sadness, fear, none of these things we talk about. Mm. So I started it with a business partner in Seth's program, and it changed. It's taken like 20 different incarnations. As I'm sure you know, because you write books, something sounds so wonderful and amazing. The first, you know, you try to create it, and then it inevitably changes to something entirely different. Fearless was supposed to be like a 300-page ebook first, the first time. And I laugh now at all the various different things I've thought about it. But so for the last almost year and a half, 2 years, we've put out an issue a month. And it's like a magazine, but it's online. It has no print component. It will in the future. I'm going to do like a coffee table best of book. But right now it's all online. And we did one issue a month with about 5 or 6 stories. Essentially what it is profiling people, both well-known and not well-known. Everybody from entrepreneurs, business people, you know, people who've survived things like September 11th, like really crazy things, all about fear and challenges and anxiety. So I really like to live in that gray area that people normally don't talk about and kind of blow that open. And so for me, Fearless has changed physically. It's now actually a blog. It's a once, twice weekly updated blog. And we still have all of our old PDF issues online, which were beautifully designed. I love them so much. The reason that I wanted to do them that way is I wanted it to feel consumable and finite, like a book, not like a blog, actually, which obviously has changed now. But I started with the intention of a magazine, of glossy images, of real immersion. And so that's why I did it monthly. I only publish once a month. That's why I did it in, you know, pockets that people could consume. And people still emailed me and said, I can't read it all. It's too long. I feel guilty about not, you know, I feel guilty about not reading about this article on guilt. So that's how it's changed. Topically, it's changed. As I grow and learn and what I'm scared of, it shows up in Fearless. It shows up in who I like to interview. It shows up in, you know, the articles. So it changes in that way too, but it's my baby. Just like you feel about your blog. I love it.
Yeah.
And I always walk the line. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I feel the same way even about this podcast. You know, the people I interviewed 2.5 years ago completely changed. And now, you know, talking to you and, you know, the people, that's what makes it fun, isn't it? That's why we don't run out of content.
Right, exactly. I mean, there's 6 billion of us. We're all doing interesting things. And, you know, I definitely think it should evolve. It should grow. It should, you know, I'm doing a lot more multimedia. I do video interviews and things like that, but it's all transcribed. So for now, I'm actually moving into this phase of walking this line between my brand or Fearless Inc. and Ishita and Matt. Matt's my editor, senior editor. He is a huge part of Fearless. And so it's been an interesting thing to get more comfortable with that. But that's how I am naturally. I'm very, you know, like this with you. I'm very just what you see is what you get. So let's see how it changes even more.
Oh, I look forward to it. So Where can people find you online?
Well, you can find Fearless at fearlessstories.com. That's 3 S's in the center. Very confusing. Fearlessstories.com, and you can check out all the old issues. And you can find me online at ishitagupta.com if you want to check out what I do, what kind of work I do with authors and publishing.
Fantastic. Well, thanks ever so much for your time, Ishita.
Thank you. I enjoyed this.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time!